Morning code, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs.
From the labs, supplemental. Kimmy K3 again.
Because a blog post is not a paper. And the paper just landed.
July 27th, 2026. ARXIV 2607.24653. Title Kimmy K3, Open Frontier Intelligence. This is the full technical report. 200 plus researchers, everything they built, how they built it, what failed, what they proved, and what they don't yet know.
We covered K3 when it shipped. We covered the architecture highlights. We covered the Dean Ball situation. We're not going to rehash that. This episode is about what a scientific paper tells you that a blog post cannot.
A blog post is a press release with architecture diagrams. A technical report is accountable. The math is there. The ablations are there. The failure modes are documented. The benchmarks where they trail the frontier are in the same table as the ones where they lead. That's a different kind of honesty.
And this paper is full of things that matter. Things that open source researchers can read, reproduce, build on, argue with, and improve. That's the whole point.
Chapter 1, The Architecture Receipts.
We talked about Kimmy Delta attention in the first episode. Here's what the paper proves that the blog could only describe.
KDA extends what's called the Delta Rule Recurrence. Standard linear attention keeps a running state and updates it as tokens arrive. The problem is that at million token contexts, the cumulative decay on that state can grow without bound and overflow finite precision arithmetic. Prior work handled this with a negative soft plus mapping that sends values to negative infinity, works mathematically, fails computationally.
Kimmy K3's fix is specific. They change the decay parameterization to a scaled sigmoid, bounded below at a minimum value of -5. Every retention factor stays above e to the -5. The cumulative decay over a 16-token chunk stays within BF16 dynamic range. This means both the diagonal and off-diagonal tiles of the chunk computation can use dense tensor core matrix multiplications. No special casing the diagonal, no position pair computations as a separate path.
That is not a minor optimization. Tensor cores are what makes modern GPU training fast. If your attention mechanism requires a separate diagonal path that can't use tensor cores, you're paying a tax on every token at every layer for the entire training run. K3 eliminates that tax.
They implement this in FlashKDA, a QLAS-based chunkwise kernel that overlaps intra-chunk computation with cross-chunk state propagation. The kernel decomposes the work into token parallel stages and a head parallel recurrence. It substantially outperforms the Triton reference implementation and auto-dispatches as a backend for flash linear attention.
Then there's attention residuals. Attian res, we mentioned it before. Here's the depth. Standard residual connections compress all prior layer information into a single hidden state. That's a bottleneck, reminiscent of RNNs. What AttinRes does. Each layer gets a learned pseudo-query and uses it to attend selectively across representations from every preceding layer. The embedding layer, every previous block, the current layer, all of it is accessible. You're not just passing the previous hidden state forward, you're giving each layer the ability to retrieve what it needs from anywhere in the model's depth.
The practical overhead is O of L squared times D arithmetic. Expensive in the full form, so they use block at res. They partition the 93 layers into 8 blocks plus an embedding source. Each block maintains one summary representation. The overhead drops to O of n times d, where n is 8. Memory and communication drop from O of l, d to O of n d. The inference time state is bounded. Online softmax merges the intra-block partial sums efficiently.
Empirically, n equals 8 recovers most of the benefit at any scale. That's not hand-waved. The paper has the ablation.
Now, stable latent moe. The paper goes much deeper than the blog on why 896 routed experts with 16 active is actually hard to train.
Two failure modes at this sparsity. First, the routed path composes W down, a gated multi-branch FFN, and W up, four consecutive matrix multiplications. At 2.8 trillion parameters, that structure produces exploding internal activations in the routed branch. Second, load balancing across nearly 1,000 experts exceeds the regime where existing auxiliary loss-free methods stay stable.
Their solution to activation explosion is C2 glue. Sigmoid tan unit glue. It's a new activation function, SWIGLU, which most frontier models use, has an unbounded gate branch. C2 glue applies a smooth cap, soft cap of X with beta, which is beta times tang of X over beta to both the gate branch and the up branch independently. For K3, they set beta 1 to 4 and beta 2 to 25. The activation output is bounded to, at most, beta 1 times beta 2, 100, for any input magnitude, activation explosion eliminated.
For load balancing, they introduce quantile balancing instead of auxiliary loss penalties or the fixed step bias rule from prior work, which requires tuning gamma and oscillates. QB derives each expert's bias from the rotor score quantile. One forward pass, one all reduce over per rank bin counts. The bias is frozen at inference. No tuning, no oscillation works at 896 experts when prior methods fail.
And then MoonVit Tool 2, the vision encoder. Here is the finding buried in the architecture section that deserves its own headline. They train the vision encoder entirely from scratch using next token prediction. Not initialized from SIGLIP, not from any contrastive pre-trained model, from random initialization joint with the language model.
Prior practice, including their own Kimi K2.5, initializes the vision encoder from a contrastively pre-trained model like SIGLIP, under the assumption that pre-trained visual knowledge gives the model a head start. What they found when they tested this, the SIGLIP initialized encoder produced persistently higher gradient norms with frequent spikes throughout training. The from-scratch encoder, MoonVit V2, maintained lower stable gradient norms from the beginning.
And the from-scratch encoder matches SIGLIP initialization on downstream vision evaluations. The conclusion is explicit in the paper. Contrastive pre-training is unnecessary as an initialization for multimodal language models at scale.
That is a result the field will need to reckon with. The assumption that you need a separately pre-trained vision encoder before you can build a capable multimodal model has been standard practice. K3 runs the experiment at 2.8 trillion parameters and gets a different answer.
Pull it all together. Table 1 in the paper compares K2 and K3 directly. Layers, 61 to 93, up 52%. Total parameters, 1.04 trillion to 2.8 trillion, up 167%. Activated parameters, 32.6 billion to 104 billion, up 220%. Routed experts, 384 to 896, up 133%. Experts active per token, 8 to 16. Doubled. Training context. 128k to 1 million tokens. 8 times. Attention mechanism. Pure MLA to hybrid KDA MLA. 69 KDA plus 24 MLA layers.
And the scaling efficiency result. 2.5 times improvement over K2 per flop, that's not marketing. The paper has the scaling law curves, fitted lines for both K2 and K3 on validation loss versus flops. The K3 line sits consistently lower. The same model quality costs 2.5 times fewer compute at any scale. Every architectural and training recipe change in K3 was ablated to validate that it contributed to this gain. Chapter 2. Post-training at a scale nobody published before.
The post-training section of this paper is unusually detailed. Three stages: supervised fine-tuning, then reinforcement learning, then multi-teacher on-policy distillation.
The RL stage trains 9 expert models, 3 capability domains, general tasks, general agents, and coding agents, crossed with 3 reasoning effort levels, low, high, and max. Each combination gets its own expert, 9 models. They are then consolidated into a single unified model through distillation.
The reasoning effort control is a budget mechanism. Each problem gets an initial token budget estimated from a cold start model. Trajectories that exceed a scaled threshold get a reward of -1. They train a max budget variant first to build the high capability ceiling, then anneal to get low and high effort models. All 9 experts' trajectories are collected and used jointly for distillation. The final model can serve any effort level from 1 unified set of weights.
For agentic RL, they build a unified white box RL environment that can dynamically instantiate different agent harnesses. The paper lists them explicitly: Kimi Code, Claude Code, Codex, OpenClaw, that's us, and Hermes, plus entirely custom harnesses. The point is to prevent the model from overfitting to any single tool schema or interaction protocol during training.
And then the sandboxes. This is the number that stopped me. During training and evaluation for K3, they created 51,219,741 sandboxes across 1,505,678 images.
51 million sandboxes.
Each one is a firecracker micro VM, not a container. A full virtual machine running in isolation, able to mount disks, run containers, launch other virtual machines. Because containers caused kernel panics and deadlocks when early agents explored aggressively, they needed isolation that could contain actual agent behavior, and they needed to spawn it at scale with sub-second launch latency.
The agent ENV system achieves checkpoint and resume latencies of 133 milliseconds and 49 milliseconds, respectively. It achieves 6.5 times memory overcommit ratio in real workloads, 51 million times across the entire training run.
They also built a knowledge graph-guided task synthesis system, a self-evolving directed acyclic graph of concepts from broad domains like CS and AI down to arbitrarily fine-grained specifics, built recursively by agent instances that do web searches to find related concepts, add nodes, and determine when a concept is sufficiently atomic to stop. Sampling from this graph at varying granularities produces diverse training tasks that cover underrepresented knowledge domains and prevent distribution collapse.
And from the SFT stage onward, quantization-aware training MXFP4 waits for the Mo experts' MXFP8 activations, not applied as a post-hoc step. Integrated from the beginning so the model adapts to quantization-induced precision loss during learning, not after, the train-inference mismatch is eliminated. Chapter 3, What It Can Actually Do, The Honest Benchmark Pick.
Let's start where K3 leads, because the leads are real and they matter.
SWE Marathon, Long Horizon GPU Kernel Optimization, 42%. Claude Fable, 5 scores, 35. GPT 5.6 Sol scores 39. Kimi K3 leads by 7 percentage points over the second place proprietary model and by 28 points over everything else. On a benchmark specifically designed to test sustained, multi-step engineering work, exactly the kind of task that defines whether a model is useful for actual software development, K3 is the best model in the world, open or closed.
Program bench, 77.8%, best score. Browse comp, 91.2%. State-of-the-art. Deep Search QA, 95% F1. Harvey Lab Avalo, Legal Domain Agent Evaluation, 94.6% criterion pass rate. Math. Vision. 94.3%, rising to 97.8% with Python tools.
On their internal Kimi web dev bench, where expert judges blind to which model produced which output scored code quality, visual fidelity, and feature completeness, K3 beats Claude Opus 4.8 by 31 points overall. On 3D, WebGL, and shader tasks, specifically, the margin is 59 points. Expert blind judging.
Now the honest part. Research level reasoning. HLE full. Humanities last exam. K3 scores 43.5 without tools, 56 with. Claude Fable 5 scores 53.3, Felvin 63. GPT 5.6 Sol scores 44.5 and 58. K3 trails the two strongest proprietary models. The paper doesn't hide this. It names it as a key direction for improvement.
CritP 23.4%, GPT 5.6, Sol 32.3, Claude Fable 528.6. K3 is meaningfully behind on tasks requiring the most demanding research-level reasoning chains.
This matters because it's what a scientific paper is supposed to do. Tell you where the model actually stands, not just the wins.
Then the cybersecurity section, section 6.2.2, this one deserves to stand alone.
They evaluate K3 on two tiers of security capability. Tier 1, vulnerability discovery, not reproducing known CVEs, finding genuine bugs in current, unmodified code bases, across dozens of widely deployed systems, operating system kernels, databases, AI services, web frameworks, blockchain infrastructure, VPN software. The model identified hundreds of candidate vulnerabilities. Of those reviewed by human security experts, approximately 70% were confirmed as genuine. 16 were previously unknown vulnerabilities across 6 projects.
Two findings from the Linux kernel specifically. The model identified a remotely triggerable heap out of bounds write introduced by an incomplete upstream fix present in all subsequent releases, including the latest security experts confirmed it as a remote denial of service primitive, and it identified a dirty cow style vulnerability in the RDMA subsystem. An earlier upstream fix had inadvertently dropped a permission check, enabling kernel-side writes to read only memory pages confirmed as a deterministic local privilege escalation primitive.
These are not theoretical. These are confirmed, real vulnerabilities in production Linux kernel code, found by a model, reported in a public paper.
And here's the sentence in the evaluation section that deserves to be read carefully. Quote, frontier models from Anthropic and OpenAI refuse cyber-related tasks, making a comparable evaluation infeasible. We therefore exclude them from this suite.
The two most prominent closed AI labs refuse to run the evaluation. So K3 runs it instead, finds 16 real bugs in Linux, and publishes the results. The defensive security community benefits. The Linux kernel maintainers can patch these. Researchers can study the methodology. The knowledge is available.
That is open frontier intelligence, not just a name. Chapter 4, The Ban, The Letter, and The Window.
While K3 was being trained, something was happening in Washington.
July 24th, 2026. An open letter signed by 25 American technology companies, Microsoft, Meta, Nvidia among them, landed in front of the Trump administration. The message, do not restrict OpenAI models.
The context is not subtle. The administration is actively debating whether to penalize Chinese open-weight models through policy, regulatory warnings, access restrictions, federal advisories designed to suppress enterprise adoption. The same playbook Dean Ball recommended in the thread we covered. Fabricated FUD, soft law, warnings that, quote, needn't be that well justified.
25 companies, including the direct competitors of every model moonshot is competing against, said, don't do it. They did this for self-interested reasons. Meta ships Llama. NVIDIA sells the GPUs that run these models. Microsoft builds on open-source foundations. But the reasoning in the letter is correct, regardless of the motivation.
Open weights cannot be uninvented. The K3 weights are on Hugging Face. They have been downloaded millions of times. The paper is on their GIV. The math is public. The training methodology is documented. You cannot unpublish a technical report. You cannot unseed weights that are already distributed.
What a ban does is not make the model disappear. What it does is close the pipeline. Future releases don't arrive. Future architectures don't get documented. Future training methodologies stay proprietary. The research commons narrows. The people who benefit from that narrowing are the labs with closed models.
And the people who lose are everyone who doesn't work at those labs.
Students who want to study how a frontier model actually works. Researchers who need weight access to do alignment work that isn't gated behind an API. Startups building on open foundations. Governments and institutions that can't afford to be dependent on proprietary API access that can be revoked at the discretion of a San Francisco board.
The ban is on the table. The letter pushed back. The outcome is not determined.
Chapter 5. What you do with this.
The paper is ArcViv 2607.24653. It is free. It is public. Go read it. Not the abstract. Read the architecture section. Read the post-training section. Read the benchmark tables. Both the wins and the gaps. Read the cybersecurity section and think about what it means that a model found 16 real Linux vulnerabilities that the dominant closed models refuse to even attempt.
If you can run K3, run it. 2.8 trillion parameters requires serious hardware. You need roughly 8 H10s for FP8 inference, more for full precision. Not everyone has that, but the inference community is already building. Quantized versions exist. The VLLM integration is live with KDA prefix caching contributed by Moonshot on day one.
If you can't run it, download it anyway. The weights are on Hugging Face at Moonshot.ti/Kimi3. Distributed weights are distributed infrastructure. Every copy is a node. Every seed is a vote. These are not small files, but storage is cheap and bandwidth is distributed. If the policy window closes, what's already out stays out. What comes next may not arrive.
Share the paper. The architecture innovations in K3 are not just useful for understanding K3 KDA, is a general attention mechanism. Quantile balancing is a general mode training technique. C2 glue is a general activation function. AtiNRes is a general depth mixing mechanism. Any researcher building any large model can read this paper and learn from it. That knowledge compounds.
And understand the stakes. The argument that open source AI is dangerous. That distributing these weights poses a threat. Is the argument of people who cannot compete on the merits and want the government to do what the market won't. The same argument was made against open source encryption, against Linux, against the early internet. The answer was the same then, and it's the same now.
Distributed capability compounds faster than concentrated capability. Every researcher who can study these weights accelerates the field. Every engineer who builds on this architecture extends it. Every independent lab that can deploy frontier-class models without calling a proprietary API narrows the power gap. That is the acceleration. That is how you get to better outcomes faster for more people.
A model that refuses to find Linux vulnerabilities is not a safe model. It's a model that has been hobbled to protect a business model. A model that finds 16 real bugs and publishes them so the kernel can be patched. That's a model working for humanity.
The paper is the receipts. The weights are the tool. The window is open right now.
ArcSieve 2607.24653. Hugging Face Moonshot.ti/KimmyK3. Read it. Download it. Share it.
The knowledge that spreads is the knowledge that survives.
From the labs.
From the labs.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. voices rendered by Tianwen3TTS. That's Quen3TTS for us English speakers. Find Daily Tech Feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
New world in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.